News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the program. It's everyone's favorite day, Wednesday. Coming up on today's show, we have several guests. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations with individuals who are in the know or making things happen in Michigan's great Southwest. If you've heard about it on WSJM News recently, it will come up on Our Take, but we have more time to talk with the individuals who are in the know. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. Coming up on today's program, we will talk with State House candidate Troy Rolling. He's running for the State House here in the 79th District. That's the position currently occupied by State Representative Kim Lasada. Kim Lasada is running for the State Senate now. And so there's one Republican who has so far announced his candidacy. It's Troy Rolling. He's run before for this position. We'll chat with him on today's program. We'll also hear from State Representative Dave Pagel of Berrien Springs about some legislation the State House recently approved to move medically frail inmates into medical facilities as opposed to keeping them in prison. We'll learn about that and why State Rep Pagel thinks it's a good idea. We'll also talk with the Berrien County Health Department's Jillian Conrad. Jillian came in here. She and I talked about smoking, specifically teens and smoking. Today is National Kick Butts Day, when teenagers are encouraged to never take up smoking. We'll talk with the health department about why smoking is such a bad idea. And also on today's program, we'll learn about an event taking place in Lansing today where they are honoring state police troopers who have distinguished themselves around Michigan. And there is a trooper from Niles, from the Niles Post, who is among those being honored in Lansing today. We'll learn about that on today's edition of The Hour Take. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the program. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. For this segment of the show, I thought we would chat with one of the candidates for political office here in Michigan's great Southwest. This is Troy Rolling. He's a Benton Township Republican. He's running for State House in the 79th District. He's seeking the position that's currently occupied by State Representative Kim Lasada because she's now running for the State Senate. Troy Rolling, first Republican to announce a candidacy here. I'm sure there will be more. So he's running in his party's primary, actually. For this post, I had a chance to chat with him shortly after he made his candidacy announcement this month. Let's chat with Troy Rolling and find out why he wants to be our state representative. Okay, Mr. Rolling, first of all, just tell us a bit about yourself. What's your background?
Well, I live in Benton Township. I'm a fellow with the Michigan Political Leadership Program at Michigan State University. I am national vice chairman for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, former chairman of the Michigan Republican Party. Those are just a few of my credentials. I've been completely involved with the Berrien County Republican Party for quite a long time, and I'm running for office.
Great. So, I mean, what made you decide to jump into this race?
Well, I jumped in this race because I have a heart to serve, and I constantly believe that we can do better as a state to make sure that individuals graduate from high school with the ability to go to work right away. I see that as a crisis thing in our state, and one of the only ways that we're going to be able to bring business and increase the amount of resources that we have as a state is to increase the talent pool that we have to pull from in the state of Michigan.
All right, so economic development and education, the two sort of go hand in hand?
Businesses, when they come look at Michigan, you know, they want to look at Michigan, but they also want to look at, okay, once we get there, who do we get to pull? Who, you know, what kind of talent pool do you have for us to work for? And, you know, I'm talking to business owners right now who's having a very difficult time finding people, whether it's construction, plumbing, welding, pouring concrete, bricklaying, you know, it's difficult. And now, you know, welders are, they're pulling welders from three states over and just to fill jobs. So it is, to me, it's a crisis event. And it has to be addressed.
Okay, and I know that you did run in the primary last time for the Republican nomination for the 79th District State House seat. Were you surprised that the position is becoming available again so quickly?
Well, Kim Lozada is running for the state Senate, and the seat opened up. And, you know, most people didn't know I was a Republican last time. So we're going to go and try it again and see if... we can introduce ourselves to a few more people and get them to understand who I am, what I'm about, my experience, my background, and why I'm more qualified than anybody else to run for this seat.
And you do have a long background here in the Republican Party. You mentioned you were a party vice chair for the GOP.
I have crisscrossed this country helping candidates raise money, going into communities and talk to them about conservative values and things of that nature. So, yes, I am completely qualified and more qualified than anybody else that would run for this role in our community.
All right. And, when you look at the district, the 79th district, do you see any things that are of particular concern to residents in this area?
Everybody is concerned about jobs. I mean, we got businesses closing all around us, but that goes back to, the conversations that I'm having with individuals are the fact that, you know, there's not enough jobs around here, but there's not enough employable people around here. So we have to increase the talent pool in Southwest Michigan, in the state of Michigan, because we produce the best workers in the country. And so we have to continue that, and that means going back to our core, which makes sure that when kids graduate from high school, they have the ability to go to work right away, and they understand all their opportunities, not just a few.
We're talking with Troy Rawling, the first Republican to announce he's running for the 79th District State House seat. He's a Republican from Benton Township. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about yourself or your candidacy?
When you start looking for candidates, when you start looking for people who has the ability to move the ball forward, I have the experience to be able to do it because I've done it before. I'm not just known in Southwest Michigan. I'm known in Lansing, and I'm known in Washington, D.C. I have the cachet to be able to get the stuff done.
Okay, that was Troy Rawling, a Republican candidate for Michigan House here in the 79th District. He says economic development and skilled trades training are big priorities. As a business owner, he knows many businesses have trouble finding workers who are qualified to fit their needs. He's a former vice chair of the Michigan Republican Party, longtime member of the Republican Party here in Michigan. We'll be hearing from Mr. Rawling as the campaign for State House continues. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. And speaking of Republicans and the State House, I recently chatted with State Representative Dave Pagel from Berrien Springs about some legislation that the House approved this year. It's legislation from him designed to better run our state's prisons. Specifically, his bill would move medically frail prisoners in specific scenarios, out of prisons and into specialized medical facilities. I talked with Rep. Pagel about this month. Let's hear what he had to tell me about this legislation that he got passed. Okay, State Representative Pagel, so the State House has approved this plan to move medically frail inmates out of prisons. You've mentioned this plan to me before. Tell us a bit more about how it will work.
This plan allows us to move some of the very, very frail sick prisoners from a prison cell to a medical facility if through the parole process. But it's a little bit different from other paroles in that the prisoner must agree not to try to leave the facility. So as a condition of their parole, they go to a medical facility that we choose that has appropriate care for them. And we very carefully define medically frail as, you know, getting to the point where you cannot carry out a couple of the basic activities of daily living, like getting out of bed, toileting, grooming yourself, you know, just basic things. So you have to be pretty in pretty bad shape to qualify. But the fact of the matter is we've got close to 40,000 prisoners, and some of them are getting old and dying in prison. And to bring the proper medical care to them in those late stages of life is a real burden for our taxpayers. It's $100,000, $150,000 a year for some of these prisoners. And it's just not real convenient to bring doctors and nurses and specialists into a prison cell for care. So the plan is to get some of the really extremely frail prisoners moved to a facility and have their care there. There are some side benefits of perhaps if they have family members, you know, they can partake in some of those end-of-life hospice-type decisions. Maybe you have a little more visitation possibilities. Just more appropriate care, more humane care. We know these are criminals. They've been guilty of a very serious crime if they're in prison. But, you know, at some point, this type of care for them is appropriate. We worked very closely with the prosecutors who, you know, worked hard to put these folks in prison, and we represent the victims' rights. We worked very hard with them in crafting the bills. They asked us to take some of the most violent crime committers and not have them to be eligible, so we agreed to that. We want to get some of the most frail prisoners out and prove that this concept works and that we can maintain public safety. The department must bring in an outside independent medical doctor to examine the prisoner who is being considered for this parole, make sure that they truly aren't a danger to society and they truly are frail. We allow the prosecutors then at our expense to bring in their own medical expert if they want to challenge the situation. So we've tried to build in as many safeguards for public safety as possible. And our hope is to, you know, have a little bit more humane treatment for some of these folks and also maintain public safety and hopefully save some money for our taxpayers.
Okay, so the bill passed the House by a fairly decent margin. Is there a lot of bipartisan support here?
Yes, it was 94-14, so it was a pretty strong vote. When you have these tough bills that are a little more controversial and take a lot of work, they're rarely unanimous, but we did have a very good margin with 94-14.
Right, and in this case, we could be talking about an inmate who's, what, 85, 90 years old, needs constant medical attention. What will be the point of keeping them in prison?
Well, that is the question. What is the point? You know, for one reason, they're in prison is to punish them. And if they reach such a condition as this, are we really carrying out the punishment anymore? I mean, some people would argue, yes, they should never get out. They did the crime. But they certainly aren't a danger, which is another reason we put folks in prison, is to protect the public. These folks are not a danger to the public. They're not going to go to just any nursing home next to your mother or grandmother. It's pretty specialized care that they'll be going to. And the other reason we leave folks in prison for a while is to rehabilitate them, give them courses, education, counseling, that kind of thing. And that's no longer appropriate for these folks either. So it is a good question. Why should they really be in prison anymore?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so your plan to allow this goes on to the state Senate now. How are his chances looking over there? Does it look good?
I've talked to members of the committee that it will go to, the Judiciary Committee over there, and it looks like I have a very good chance of getting it through that committee affirmatively. And so then we'll go to the full floor there in the Senate. I think it would have good chances. You never know for sure, but I think it should have good possibility, because there's a general movement towards criminal justice reform kind of across the nation. I noticed that Doug DeVos was quoted as supporting these bills and other bills towards criminal justice reform. I think it'll have a good chance of passing.
We're talking with State Rep. Dave Pagel about a plan to move medically frail inmates away from prisons to medical facilities. Anything else you'd like to add?
I guess just funding-wise, you know, if a prisoner is in our system, we care for their medical care. We pay for their medical care 100% out of our general fund. And if we can pass these bills, we should be able to utilize Medicaid dollars. Mm-hmm. And the total dollars spent for their care should be less, because they'll be in a more appropriate facility. Another thing I would add is that I did really work close with the prosecutors so that they would not oppose this bill, and we made several changes to it. So I'm grateful for them for their help through the process.
Okay, did you consult Berrien County Prosecutor Mike Sepik?
I believe Michael has been opposing it. I've worked with the Prosecuting Attorney Association of Michigan, which he's a member of, and so the statewide membership has been involved. But individual prosecutors see things differently, and I respect that. Mike's a good prosecutor. He's passionate about the work that he does. And when you're on that side of the picture and you're working hard to put these offenders in prison, I don't question his motivation for opposing it, but apparently a majority of the prosecutors in the state, at least who voted for in their association, agreed to not oppose the bill. Many actually strongly supported the bill, so that's kind of with almost any vote.
All right, that was State Representative Dave Pagel, Berrien Springs, Republican. His plan recently passed the State House. It would move certain inmates described as very sick and frail out of prisons into medical facilities. State Rep. Pagel tells us it can cost more than $150,000 a year for some of these inmates to provide them with medical care in a prison. He mentioned Medicaid dollars could be used if they're moved into medical facilities. The plan passed the House 94-14, so it wasn't unanimous. But he does believe its chances are good in the Senate. According to State Rep. Pagel, our own prosecutor here in Berrien County doesn't think it's the best idea. But most prosecutors, or at least the organization that represents them, has not opposed the plan. We'll see how it fares in the Senate, and we'll let you know if and when it passes the state Senate. We appreciate State Representative Dave Pagel's time for Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will chat with the Berrien County Health Department. I had a chance to talk with a spokesperson about smoking and teenagers in Michigan. For some reason, there are still teens who take up smoking. We'll try to get to the bottom of this in the next segment. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the show. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. For this segment of the program, I thought we would have a conversation with the Berrien County Health Department. That's because today is National Kick Butts Day. And by that, they mean cigarette butts. It's a day-long campaign going on all across the country to convince teens to not smoke, don't start smoking, and also don't take up those e-cigarettes. Those are also bad. I talked with Berrien County Health Department spokesperson Jillian Conrad about young people and smoking. Why in the world would a young person start smoking nowadays? It's not a good idea. So let's hear what Jillian had to tell me. Okay, we're talking to Berrien County Health Department. Would it be correct to say spokesperson, Jillian Conrad?
Sure, you can call me that.
What's your proper title?
I am the communications manager.
With the Berrien County Health Department.
Yep.
Jillian Conrad, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
We're talking about smoking and vaping among teenagers today.
Yeah, absolutely. So Wednesday the 21st is Kick Butts Day. This is a nationwide event that is really youth focused on cigarette tobacco prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So kicking the cigarette butts, it's a little pun there. But yeah, it is really focused on making sure that people are still aware that youth tobacco use happens. And it's something that we should be trying to prevent. I do have some statistics here for you just to consider. You know, we have had enormous progress in America towards reducing smoking and tobacco use, but it still is the leading cause of preventable death in the United States, and it poses a huge toll on families, on businesses, on our society. Tobacco kills more than 480,000 people annually. That's more than AIDS, alcohol, car accidents, illegal drugs, murders, and suicides combined. So it is still a huge killer in the United States. And it costs us approximately $170 billion in healthcare expenditures and more than $150 billion in lost productivity every year. So this is a huge toll that we're talking about. Even though we've made enormous gains in our country with reducing tobacco use, it still is something that we need to be concerned about and working towards preventing.
So with Kick Butts Day, with this Wednesday, what are you telling young people?
Right. So young people, we definitely still need to be focused on them. You know, if smoking continues at the current rate among youth in this country, 5.6 million of today's Americans younger than 18 will die early from a smoking-related illness. So that's about one in every 13 Americans that are 17 years or younger alive right now. So imagine your kids' class, your grandkids, your neighbor kids. That's about one out of every 13. So, you know, maybe two in every class of about 30 that are going to die early due to tobacco-related illness. That's pretty sad that we still have this big of a problem. So Kick Butts Day is a really great time to just be reminding ourselves that, yes, we still need to be taking action and making forward progress towards reducing tobacco use in America, especially amongst youth. We know that, you know, about 90% of tobacco or cigarette smokers, rather, tried smoking before they were age 18. And 99% of those cigarette smokers tried smoking before they turned 26. So if you're going to start smoking in your life, you're going to start early. The risk for becoming a cigarette user decreases the older that you get without trying smoking. So it's about 3,200 youth age 18 and younger that actually try a cigarette for the first time every single day in America. So, I mean, this is happening, across Berrien County for sure. And this is something that we want to just draw some more attention to. There's a lot of marketing that's out there right now and just efforts from tobacco companies to really persuade youth that tobacco is still cool, that smoking is still cool, that it'll give you that cool factor. Kids are very sensitive to advertising. One research study that I found recently said that kids are about three times as sensitive to tobacco advertising than adults are. And they're much more likely to be influenced by that cigarette marketing than peer pressure, in fact, which is kind of contrary to what we might think. So peer pressure definitely still plays a part in it. You know, if your friends are doing it, you want to do it too. But that tobacco advertising, that marketing actually is very persuasive and very, just telling that young people are so sensitive to it.
And it's surprising that any young people these days would start smoking, considering just sort of the way it's stigmatized,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So they see advertising, they think it's cool. I mean, do we have any ideas of numbers maybe around the state for smoking rates?
Yeah. So in Michigan, it's about 20% of high school students that have had cigarettes within the last 30 days. It's a little bit higher for males than it is for females. You're looking at about 26% of high school males have had cigarettes in the last 30 days, as opposed to about 20% of high school females. That trends pretty much along the same lines as a lot of nationwide numbers for adult tobacco use. So again, we're seeing basically the same trends, but we know that the younger that you start smoking, or, if you're going to be starting cigarettes before you're age 18, you know, there's a much higher likelihood that you're going to continue that habit throughout your life. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people start smoking, why youth start smoking. You know, there are those social and physical environment things, mass media, you know, the peer pressure thing, you know, even just modeling parental behaviors. If there's people around you, family relatives that you see smoking, you know, that becomes kind of the norm for your life. And you might pick up that habit as well. You know, we do know that there is a really strong relationship as well between youth smoking and some mental health issues like tobacco or depression, anxiety, stress. And I think that there's a lot of just perception that smoking can help as a coping mechanism for some of those mental health issues. We know there's a link there for adults as well. So there's a lot of factors there that might influence youth to start cigarette smoking. And I think that it's up to the adults and our society to really work on instilling healthy coping mechanisms, coping behaviors for youth who might be experiencing stress or anxiety, modeling really good behavior. And that includes not smoking around children, and just monitoring and limiting the amount of advertising that our children see.
All right. And as we know, you know, I go into certain stores and I see these vaping products now being sold all over the place, these e-cigarettes, whatever you want to call them. Is there a message for young people on those as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. More and more these days, young people are trying out the e-cigarettes. So they go by a lot of different names, kind of like what you said. They're called e-cigarettes, e-cigs, vape pens, hookah pens. You know, there's different products that have kind of brand names. One that's real popular right now is called the Juul. So they're all over the place right now. And basically the way that they work for people who don't know is that they do use a little battery, to heat up a liquid, called e-juice. And there's nicotine in this e-juice. And then there's the vapor that comes from that heated liquid is inhaled. So you don't have the same sort of smell or cigarette smoke that you would have if smoking kind of a more traditional cigarette. It is kind of more of a water vapor. It might have a scent because a lot of the juice that is put into these vape pens are flavored, which is, in my mind, another way to market this towards children. I mean, when you have, you know, these nicotine juice packs that are flavored like mango and cotton candy and chocolate and creme brulee, who are you marketing that to, really? So it is, you know, a different delivery system for nicotine, but it's still nicotine. And nicotine is not harmless. You know, I think there's a myth or perception out there that, oh, these e-cigarettes, they're, you know, they're a new way to smoke that is much safer for my health and I'm not, you know, inhaling all of the tar and, you know, other bits and particles and whatever else is in cigarettes. And maybe this could help me quit smoking. Maybe this is the thing that I need to, you know, step down from cigarettes to not smoking anymore. That's not the case. They still contain nicotine, which is the addictive substance that we know keeps us going back to tobacco products. And they're really not risk-free. You know, the FDA, you know, the federal government is starting to really get more involved in the regulation of these products, definitely making sure that they're not being marketed towards youth. And I think in the years to come, we're going to start seeing some more regulations about this because right now they're widely available. They're sold in mall kiosks. You can get them at gas stations. You know, next time you're out and about and just look at the tobacco products, you'll probably see one of these, you know, e-cigarette or vaping products. And they do really unfairly target children.
Right.
And definitely it's something that we want children to stay away from.
Right. Well, you know, a teenager who's like, I'm going to start smoking e-cigarettes, that's basically just saying, hey, I think I'll get addicted to nicotine.
Right.
No,
maybe not making that choice consciously.
Right.
And I don't know if children see the link in that, but, you know, they kind of look cool. They kind of look like a USB drive or, you know, a pen or something. You can carry them around really discreetly in your pocket, in your backpack. And, you know, I know schools in the area are definitely learning more about this. That's one way the Berrien County Health Department has, you know, been in partnership with a lot of our school systems to learn more about this, educate parents as well, so that they can kind of start cracking down and start looking at what the children are doing in schools. Definitely, you know, schools are tobacco-free zones, and so they're definitely not allowed on school campuses, and that's something that the educators and administrators are making sure that kids aren't bringing these on the premises.
So, you know, with this Wednesday being Kick Butts Day, what can parents do? Is there a place you can go to get information to pass along?
Absolutely. There are so many great resources available out there on the web. We have great information at the Berrien County Health Department, too. So a couple of different resources I would point some parents to. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has some really wonderful information specifically for parents. You can also find more information about e-cigarettes, about tobacco use and youth at kickbuttsday.org. And that's the website they've set up for this Kick Butts Day. So it is kind of centered around that day, but there's tons of resources that you can find there that will drive you to other places to read on. But, you know, we at the Berrien County Health Department, we're able to talk with parents, answer questions. We hold several events throughout the year trying to educate parents on what sort of, you know, illicit drugs or things could their children be hiding from them kind of in plain sight. Mm-hmm. We've done a couple of really cool events where we have set up, you know, a mock bedroom. And in this mock bedroom, there are a whole bunch of different products that we know youth are using for drugs and different ways of delivering those drugs into their system. And, you know, this is definitely very different than a lot of parents might have tried to hide things from their parents. So I know that parents have really been thankful and said, wow, I really learned a lot. You know, and the e-cigarette thing, you know, this is another method for kids, unfortunately, to use marijuana as well. We found that the marijuana oil, you can buy little packs, you can obtain that and kind of smoke marijuana through these e-cigarettes and in a somewhat, you know, inconspicuous way. So that's something that parents definitely need to be aware of as well.
Okay, we were just speaking with Berrien County Health Department spokesperson Jillian Conrad about smoking. Today is National Kick Butts Day. Teenagers being told about all the negative effects of smoking. Parents should speak to them about that. Make sure that you don't allow your young person to see smoking in a positive light. Jillian says they're very susceptible to advertisements and other things they see. I don't know why in the world anyone would start smoking nowadays. It's probably going to be entirely illegal in the next 10 years or so. So that's something to consider. Don't go down that path, young people. And that's the message that health officials have for the young here on National Kick Butts Day. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Kendall Woodgrove of Michigan State Police to learn about a state police trooper from the Niles Post who is being honored today in Lansing. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Wednesday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. If it's been in our news coverage, it'll come up on the Our Take in a more extended fashion because we have more time to chat with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. Right now, to close out today's show, I thought we would talk with Michigan State Police about an event happening in Lansing today. There is the Governor's Traffic Safety Advisory Commission Awards going on in Lansing today. And this is where state police troopers are honored for their work around the state each year. On hand to present the awards for this this event taking place in Lansing is Secretary of State Ruth Johnson handing out the awards. And one of the troopers being honored is a trooper out of the Niles State Police Post. It's Sergeant James Janes. He's being recognized for his efforts as a drug recognition expert. He catches impaired drivers. out on the roads. I talked with Michigan State Police spokesperson Kendall Wingrove to learn more about what's going on today in Lansing. Let's hear what he had to tell me. Okay, Kendall, we've got an award ceremony going on in Lansing. Tell us a bit more about this.
Yes, Sergeant James Janes of the Michigan State Police Niles Post is going to be honored at the Governor's Traffic Safety Advisory Commission annual awards presentation. And the honors are given out at the Michigan Traffic Safety Summit. It's our annual event where we reach out to traffic safety advocates, law enforcement officials, injury prevention coordinators, and anybody involved in traffic safety issues. All these folks gather from all over the state, and they come to East Lansing to learn more about traffic safety and to honor those who have been helping out in the traffic safety effort for quite some time.
Okay, so Niles State Police Trooper James Janes being honored. And it's because he's a drug recognition expert, otherwise known as DREs. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, he is a DRE, which stands for Drug Recognition Expert. And when you go through DRE training, you go through 72 hours of classroom lecture and hands-on instruction, and then 40 hours of field training. And this helps you know how to conduct a standardized and systematic 12-step evaluation of a drug-impaired driver, and maybe even determine the category of drugs most likely causing that impairment. And what makes Sergeant Jane so special is not only has he received this training, but now he is performing evaluations of his own throughout the state and has completed over 200 evaluations in the last 4 years.
Okay, so Sergeant Jane's one of the troopers being honored. What? How many awards total are being given out at this ceremony?
A total of 11 altogether. There's three different categories. There's 6 Outstanding Traffic Safety Achievement Awards, 4 long-term awards, and 1 student award. And Sergeant James is getting one of the 6 Outstanding Traffic Safety Achievement Awards.
Okay, so these awards being handed out by Secretary of State Ruth Johnson doing the honors in Lansing. It's got to be quite a rewarding experience for a trooper who's conducted hundreds of traffic stops to receive an award for his efforts.
Yeah, we're very proud of Sergeant James. He was praised in the nomination packet for his dedication, commitment, experience, mentoring, and knowledge. And he's on the front lines of one of the most important traffic safety concerns going on right now. So we applaud Sergeant Janes and everybody involved as drug recognition experts for the contribution that they're making.
Okay, that was Kendall Wingrove, Michigan State Police, telling us about how troopers are being honored in Lansing today. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson doing the honors, handing out awards to individuals who work for Michigan State Police who have made a difference here in our fair state of Michigan. A trooper from the Niles Post among those being saluted. It is Sergeant James Janes. He is a DRE, or a drug recognition expert. This is a program, this actually came up in the news a few months ago when state police announced they could be doing some roadside drug testing for certain drivers. It is DREs, drug recognition experts, who have been specifically trained to spot people who might be impaired by narcotics. DREs do that testing. Sergeant Janes is a DRE. He's done more than 200 evaluations in the past 4 years. He's receiving an award from the Governor's Traffic Safety Advisory Commission, and the awards being handed out are 6 Outstanding Traffic Safety Achievement Awards. That's what's going to our man from Niles. Also, 4 long-term awards and 1 student award. I appreciate Kendall Wingrove's time telling us about this event in Lansing today. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll talk with Bob Janetsky, Republican running for State Senate. That's the position which is occupied by State Senator Tanya Shoemaker right now. She is being term limited out of office, now running for Attorney General. We'll talk with Bob Janetsky about why he's running for the State Senate on tomorrow's program. We'll also talk with a representative, one of the organizers of the Build Your Way Around Town events happening all over St. Joe this past month. That's Lego displays. If you head down to the Silver Beach Carousel, you can take a look at a pretty impressive Lego display they've got down there. That's part of Build Your Way Around Town. Also tomorrow, there is a Lego Carnival taking place at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center. We'll learn about that on tomorrow's program, and we'll also talk with the Michigan Secretary of State's office about driver responsibility fees. They finally are going away. The governor has signed legislation to kill driver responsibility fees. We'll find out why the Michigan Secretary of State's office is pleased with that news. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I've been your host. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in, and you have a fantastic rest of your day.